It's good to be with you, brethren, tonight. I preached over West Carlton this morning, and I thought I'd come over here and hear a good sermon tonight, so I guess I will. Brother Warnick asked me if I'd take up a few minutes and give him a short sermon. Not long ago, I was visiting in Salem, Ohio, and they asked me if I preached for them there, and I did. The preacher, Brother McPherson, I believe his name is, asked me if I was prepared and would I rather have more time to prepare. And I said, well, I'm just a little bit like a little preacher I heard of one time. He said, now, any time you want me to make a 10 or 15 minute talk, give me a 6 week notice. But any time you want me to talk an hour or more, call on me any time. So I don't know how short my sermon will be tonight, but I'll try not to make it too long. If I see you starting to squirm in your seats or something, then I'll shut it off. I asked Brother Smith if he would sing this last song for us tonight. And Susan was over there this morning, and I preached a sermon over there, and she said this evening, said, Granddaddy preached the same one year. So she may not have got as much out of it as she wanted to get out of it. And so, since it's fresh on her mind, we're going to use that again tonight. And we're going to call it, if it had a subject, we're going to call it, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. And that's a beautiful song. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There. Where? At the cross. A precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flowed from Calvary Mountain. You know, Christ's blood wasn't spilled. It was poured out for the sins of the world. So hurriedly, we're going to get into the lesson a little early tonight. Over in the Ephesian letter, the fourth chapter, the Apostle Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I was preaching in Steubenville, Ohio several years ago. I was preaching in the basement of the Fort Steuben Hotel where they met. And there was a young couple visiting there, and they came to me and said they were members of the Endeavoring Society, and they were visiting around different churches and each Sunday. And so, if you brethren, some of you have been wanting to belong to a society and thought maybe it's unscriptural, well, then you can join this one here. Paul said endeavoring. He's talking to you and me. Endeavoring to keep the unity, the oneness, in the bond of peace. It's up to you and I. Do that. And he starts out by saying there is one body and one spirit, even in your call and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God, the Father of all, who is above all and through you all. Paul said, endeavor, brethren, to keep the unity. Unit means one, you know. Keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And he said, there is one body. And, of course, that's all there is. Paul said that. Oh, about the year of A.D. 64, I think it was, Paul wrote this. And at that time, he said, there is one body. That's all there is. And that one body, we learned, is the church of the living God. The church. God gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Colossians 1, 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. Jesus Christ is the head of it. The church is the spiritual body of Christ. We're Christ. We've been baptized into the one body. We've been baptized into the one church. And there's only one. I began preaching a little better than 45 years ago. And I remember back then reading and hearing that there were about 250 churches in the world. Oh, they've multiplied fast, especially in the last few years. They've really multiplied. Now, I guess there's around 1,200, maybe 1,500 different bodies or faiths. Maybe we should have waited and mentioned that there when they said there's one faith. But one body, one church, that's what it is, brethren. The body is the church. And we're members of that body. We're members of the church. The Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. The saved are added to the church, and that's what the church is. The church is a called out body of people, called out of sin into righteousness. Called out of darkness into light. And so we are members of the body of Christ. And Paul said we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body. And of course there is one Spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit. The giver of life. The Spirit that sustains life. The Spirit that guides. The Spirit that guided men to write this book. The Spirit, there's only one Spirit. That's all there is. As the fellow says, there ain't any more. That's all there is. And of course, there's one hope. And our hope is through Christ. Our hope of getting to heaven, that's what our hope is. That's why we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. To receive hope. To receive the promise of God. That we have hope of going to heaven someday. If we work in his vineyard as he has planned in his word. There is one hope. And there's one Lord, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter stood there before that great multitude, and he said to them, ye with wicked hands have taken and crucified the Lord of glory. Therefore let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Not Jesus. There's only one. Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and kings of kings. All authority in heaven and earth, Jesus said, is given unto me. There's just one. And you and I, as members of the body of Christ, are to stand for this. We are to endeavor as one another and members of the body of Christ and sons of God. endeavor to keep the unity, this oneness, and the bond of peace. And he said, there's one faith. That's all there is, just one faith. I'm going to erase that out of many did. One faith. That's the faith that it takes to please God. In Hebrews 11, chapter 6, verse, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without faith it is impossible to please God. How do we get our faith? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That's how we get our faith. Our faith doesn't come by our think-so's and our opinions and human creeds and various things like that. It comes by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how we get our faith. And without it, it is impossible to please God. We walk by faith and not by sight. The faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints, we must walk by faith in order to please God. We must believe that He is. We must believe that there is a God. We must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We must believe that God will fulfill His promises. That's the faith that we must have in God and in His Word. That's the faith that we're walking by. And He said, one baptism. And that's all there is. Now in the world today we see three or four, maybe five or six different baptisms. But Paul said here in the year of A.D. 64, there is, present tense, that's all there is. He said, there is one baptism. And it's the one baptism what we read about in Mark 16:15-16, when He told the apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The creature that believes and is baptized shall be saved. In the 10th chapter of Acts, at the household of Cornelius, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, seeing that they have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The baptism that Philip preached to the eunuch as he was traveling on the way. The eunuch had been to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home he was reading the scriptures. From the prophet Isaiah, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb done before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch said to the preacher, who is the prophet speaking this? Of himself or somebody else? And Jesus began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The preacher said he was speaking about Jesus. And he began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they came along their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to die? If thou believest, thou mayest. Believe what? What I've been talking to you about Jesus. He preached Jesus to him. And you can't preach Jesus without preaching baptism, because Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We don't have the promise of salvation without baptism, according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul, writing to the church at Rome, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ,
For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's the baptism he's talking about. And he commanded, he said, if thou believest, thou mayest. He said, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the church to stand still. And they went down in the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And they came up out of the water. And the Spirit caught away the preacher, that the eunuch saw him the more, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. That's the one baptism he's talking about here. Now, we've heard of other baptisms, and our religious neighbors talk about baptism by sprinkling or baptism by pouring. No, that isn't the one we read about in here. Paul said, know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with our Lord in baptism into death. The likewise Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we also shall rise to walk in the newness of life. That's it. Romans 6, 3 and 4. We go on down to the 6th chapter of the Roman letter, about the 16th verse. Paul said, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey? Whether it be sin unto death, or whether it be of obedience unto righteousness, God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. When? When you obeyed the form, right then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. What is the form? Jesus Christ was taken down from the cross. He was buried in the tomb. On the third day, he resurrected. When we become dead to sin by repenting of all of our sins, we are buried with our Lord in baptism. And then we rise up out of the watery grave of baptism to rise to walk in a new life. We didn't actually die like Jesus did. We wasn't actually buried in a tomb like Jesus was, but we obeyed the form of it. That's when we become free from sin. One baptism, that's all it is. And one God. That's the Creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God's the Creator. God's the one that watches over us day and night. God's the one that we pray to when we offer our prayers. We pray to God through Jesus Christ. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto God the Father through him. That's the God. That's the God we worship. There's only one. Jesus, keep me near the cross. This will help us to stay near the cross of Christ. Now, if you want to, you turn over to the 4th chapter of the Philippian letter. And we hear the Apostle Paul said, now finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just and pure and lovely and good report, if there's any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Our time is flying, but we just want to mention, talk a little bit about this. I mentioned this morning, back in 1923, I left home to go to work, go out on my own. I had written to some friends of mine that were working in a power plant up at Beach Bottom. I just kept writing them. I wanted a job. So finally got a letter one day, come on the next train. And that was Saturday evening, but Mother wouldn't let me. She took me downtown and she bought me some clothes, work clothes, and some good clothes. And then we went home and she took me back into the room and she talked to me. My mother was a good mother. She was a religious woman. She wasn't a member of the Lord's church, but she was religious. I'd been brought up in a denomination, but she talked to me. Son, you're going out on your own now. One of the main things that I want you to remember is be honest. Whatever you do, son, be honest. The people that you work with, people that you deal with, be honest. And you know, I remembered this when I heard the gospel preached. It was different than what I'd heard, but I heard it. I found out it was from the Word of God and it was truth. These words rang in my ears, son, whatever you do, be honest. So I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I turned down the doctrine of man that I had been brought up in. I had it turned down. It wasn't right. Jesus, in praying to his Father in the 17th chapter of John, and the 17th verse, he said, God, he said, Father, praying in behalf of his apostles, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just and pure and lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I just read a cartoon in the paper the other day. A boy came in from school and he handed his dad the report card. He said, son, I only see one thing wrong with this report card. They don't give any grades for courage. He said, it must take a lot of courage to bring a report card like that home to Dad. So it must not have been a very good report. But Paul said, what sort of things are a good report? You know, when you brethren here start looking for a preacher to preach the gospel, you try to find one that has a good report. One that you know will preach the truth. All right. You turn with me now over to the 2 Peter, the first chapter. Peter said over there, add to your faith virtue. And the virtue knowledge. And the knowledge temperance. And the temperance patience. And the patience godliness, and to gentleness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. But giving all diligence, make your calling and election sure. For he that doeth these things shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into that everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Add to your faith virtue. That includes courage. And young boys and girls today, it takes a lot of courage to say no when your friends and worldly friends try to get you to do something that you should not do as a Christian. But the thing is to do to say, no, I'm a Christian. I can't do it. Add to your faith knowledge. It takes study to do that. We've got to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Now we can ask God for wisdom and he'll give us wisdom. And I did before I get in this pulpit tonight. And before I preach any sermon, I asked God to give me wisdom and to help me present the knowledge that I receive in the Word of God to the people that are listening. And so by the help of God, I'm giving you my knowledge of what the Bible says that it takes to keep us near the cross of Christ. Temperance. Temperance, self-control. Some people can't hold their temper. They lose control of their temper and they go on a rampage and they say things that they shouldn't say. They do things that they shouldn't do. And the first thing you know, they're in a condition where they can't hardly get out. They've sinned. Temperance and patience. Add to your faith godliness. Be just a little more like God every day. Act just a little more like one of God's children every day. Look like God. I remember one time, several years ago, Brother Fred Dennis was preaching out of Middle Fork, West Virginia, way out on a ridge in the hills of West Virginia, where my father-in-law lived. We went out there in the afternoon, my wife and I and family. And of course, when we started church that night, Joe was about 6 or 7 years old. And of course, he went running on ahead and was there before we were. When Brother Dennis got up that night, he was talking along this line. He said, "I knew Brother Wendland was here long before he got here. Because Joe came in and he looks and acts like his dad." Well, that isn't saying too much for the boy. But nevertheless, that's the truth. You know? So we must look like God and we must talk like God. We must act like God. Add to your faith godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, which is love. And it said that these things be in you and abound, they will make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, if we lack these things, we're blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that we was purged from our old sins. How do we get rid of our sins? We heard the gospel. We believed the gospel. We repented of our sins. We confessed our faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and we were buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins. Jesus, keep me near the cross. I don't know of anything that we could preach that would help a man to be nearer the cross of Christ. And we have it right here. The cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain. Free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. There it is, brethren. Writing to the Corinthian brethren, the Apostle Paul said in Corinthians 15, 1, 2, and 3, and 4, moreover, brethren, I declare unto the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, and by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory the things which I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel of Christ, Paul said. You believed it, I preached it to you, you believed it, you received it, you stand in it, you're saved by it. And that's what it takes. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch did when Philip went to him and he preached to him Jesus. He believed it. He heard it. He believed it. He repented of his sins. And we heard him confess with his mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in his word. He was buried with his Lord in baptism for the remission of all his sins. And he went on his way rejoicing. You can do that tonight. You can obey the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight by believing the things that you've heard from the Word of God this night. It's gospel. It's truth. You repent of your sins. Brother Warnick will take the confession that you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He'll lead you down into the watery grave of baptism and baptize you into Christ. And you can rise to walk in the newness of life, a new creature, a Christian. If you did that sometime or another and you wandered away, why don't you come back to the shepherd and bishop of your soul tonight? While you have the time and place and opportunity, won't you come now while together we stand and sing when you come?